Thank you. It's always an honor to be here. John's a great friend of ours, and we surf together, so that's what's really cool about that. But let me tell you something that happened. This husband loved his wife so much. So it was their anniversary, so he thought, you know what, I'm going to buy her a beautiful present. So he went ahead and bought a parrot. He took the parrot in a cage and set it up at the bottom of the stairs so when his wife would get up in the morning, she would be surprised. So he gets up, goes to work. The parrot's there at the bottom of the stairs. And she gets up and she's coming down, and that parrot looks at her and says, "You are the most ugliest woman I've ever seen in my life." She was offended. So she calls her husband and said, "Hey, listen, that little present you bought me just offended me. Honey, don't worry about it. When I get home, I'll take care of it." He gets home, opens the cage, takes the parrot, shakes him up, says, "You better not ever insult my wife again because I will kill you." Throws him back in, closes the door. Next day, he goes to work, and she gets up and starts walking down the stairs, and the parrot's looking around. "You are the most ugliest woman I've ever seen in my life." Man, she calls her husband and says, "You better get here today and take care of this parrot or I'm going to kill him." He comes home, takes him out, shakes him up, throws him back in. The next morning, he goes to work. And his wife gets up. He starts walking down the stairs, and the parrot's sitting there, looking this way, looking that way. And he says, "You know." Wanted to, no offense on women, okay? But I want to thank you also for my wife. You know, she has cancer for the last 5 years, breast cancer. And about a year ago, they found a huge spot on her liver. And so we went ahead and put prayer out to everybody. Everybody began to pray. We went back to the City of Hope, and the actual tumor or the spot was gone. So we thank God for that. Awesome. Really cool. God is... You know, when it comes to cancer, I told John we had 40 people die in our church last year of cancer, young and old. But my wife and I sat down for a long time because we have 4 grandkids and we have 3 sons. And we thought, okay, and if you go to be with the Lord, you know, what am I going to do and what are your kids going to do? And so we always, you know, remind ourselves that God's in control. God gives life. God takes life. And that God gives you that partner for life. We just celebrate our 46th anniversary. Can you believe that? A long time. And I think in the days we're living in, you need to really love your wife, love your husbands, love your children, because it's really important the days we're living in today. Let me turn to the book of 1 John this evening, if you have your Bible. Chapter 2, verse 26. You know, I've been reading a lot about our world and the things that are happening within the church. John the Beloved is writing three little epistles. And he writes in chapter 2 of 1 John, he writes about this great third purpose. He says that there's a place of deception going on within the church. He says in chapter 2:26, he says, "These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you." Now, you have to remember that John is writing to the church. He has four purposes for it. And first purpose is chapter 1, verse 4, where he says that your joy may be full. The second purpose is chapter 2, verse 1. He says, if we have sin, we have an advocate with the Father to stand for us. The third one is 1 John 2:26, which we're going to study tonight, those who are trying to deceive you. And the fourth purpose, 1 John 5:13, is that you may know that you have eternal life. I mean, John's such a great writer, giving to us the four purposes of the letter that he's writing. And yet, though our history, going back to the early church, and looking at the early church and up to the present time, how many heresies we actually have to fight in these last days. People that call themselves Christians. I mean, you go to colleges, you go to high schools, you go to junior high schools, and all these kids that are being deceived today by the media. You know, there's nothing wrong with having iPads or computers or cell phones. That's great. But in another way, think of the deception that is coming through the media. Think of how many people today that are getting hooked through their phones and through their computers to pornography. It's incredible. Incredible. And yet, I don't think that a lot of people see it in, you know, conversation or communication is being lost. I'm driving down the street by a high school or a junior high school, and there's no more communication. This is what's going on. No conversation. And we're living in a time where we really have to have an ear to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. More than ever before. Because there are a lot of heresies that are coming into the church. Not everyone in the church is a true believer. Socrates said this. He says, false words are not only evil in themselves, but they infect the soul with evil. They infect the soul with evil. We need to be careful with the different movements today that we're seeing, that we're hearing about, that we're watching, like the emerging church, like the Jehovah Witnesses, the Mormons, I mean, Unity Church, Baha'i, Buddhism, and there's so many cults that young people fall into not only listening, but at the same time receiving their theology. The Bible is the Word of God. You know, John Bunyan said, this book will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from this book. And that is true. I was amazed in our congregation when I asked how many people, you know, have read the New Testament. I was shocked. It's a Bible teaching ministry. How many of you have read from Genesis to Revelation? I was amazed how many people haven't. And the reason is because we're so caught up with, you know, our cell phones, computers, TV, movies, all these things that take up our time. But how much time do we really spend on our knees and our faces before God? We need to today. I need to because of my family, because of my friends, because of the church. But most important, I want to be in fellowship with God. I want God to really touch my life. I don't want to just get up and speak. I want God to give me the message in my life. And I want to live it before I can preach it. And today we look at so many people within TV, going to the internet, people that have great followings, and they have nothing to say. All they say is lies. Nothing but lies to the people of God infecting them. And yet, we want to make sure that we believe the truth. That we accept God's word. That we not only accept that we live by the word of God, and that we believe in the authority of the word of God. Right now, at this time, John is dealing with a doctrine of Gnosticism. Doctrine of Gnosticism. He said, what is doctrine of Gnosticism? Well, it was a heresy known as Gnosticism, which comes from the Greek word gnosis, which means to know. The Gnostics believed that all matter was evil, and therefore they could not believe that Jesus had actual, physical, material body. They denied his humanity. Denied his humanity. Most cults deny the deity of Jesus Christ. And if we really believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior, our Lord, have we had a true transformation? Transformation. Or are we believing the lie of people today that you don't really have to be born again? You don't really have to read the Bible? You know, you really have to just feel good about yourself. Do we really believe that? When I look in the mirror, I look at a sinner. A person that sins daily, trips every single day, and I need the mercy and the grace of God in my life. Really important. Because if we don't really look at our lives like that, we think we're really something. God has ways of humbling each one of us individually. I remember back in the days when I got saved, when Greg Laurie started his church, And Keith Reeder was one of my teachers. He taught on the Holy Spirit, the Shepherd School. And one day they asked him to speak at Riverside, so he went ahead and spoke. And after the message, he was sitting there, and he started thinking, you know what, that was a great message. Wow. Man, I really spoke to people's hearts. And then he started walking off the stage, and he flipped off the stage. Fell on his back, and God said to him, who preached the message? God has ways of humbling us. We are nothing, but he's everything. And we have to understand that the Word of God is the one that keeps us safe. It brings about conviction in my life through the Holy Spirit. But then also the Holy Spirit using the Word of God. Listen, John talks about an antichrist, antichrist begins to share with us the deception that is coming and the deception that's already in existence when he is living. In 1 John 2:18, he says, little children, it is the last hour, as you have heard, that the Antichrist is coming. But even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us, so they fellowship with us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. 1 John 2:22. Who is a liar? But he who denies that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the anointed one of God. He is an antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Secondly, John warns about a liar. He says in 1 John 2:22 again, who's a liar? Those that deny Christ. But then think about this. John warns about denial because there's so much denial going on today in the church. And it's not what you confess, it's the way you live. The way you live. Paul says we are written epistles. I mean, you can come to church, you can sit in church, and you can hear John's messages or somebody else's messages. And I've seen this as people are in the church hearing the Word of God, and, you know, you're teaching the Word of God, their heads are bowed down and they're with their phones. Or you're thinking, man, after this, I'm going down to the beach. I'm going here, I'm going there. When we come into the house of the Lord, we should come in and say, okay, Lord, speak to me. When you come into the house of the Lord, you should never leave the same person. Different. Otherwise, the Word of God is not being effective in my life. I need to have an ear to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. These people that John's talking about are deceivers. John again warns in 1 John 4:1 through 6, he says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God, and every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, notice, is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and now already is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them, but we are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Think about what John is saying here. Dr. Billy Graham says this about deception. Quote, the underlying principle of all Satan's tactics is deception. He is a crafty, clever camouflager. He does not build church or call it the first church of Satan. He's a far too clever for that. He invades the theological seminaries and even the pulpit. Many times he even invades the church under the cover of an orthodox vocabulary, emptying sacred terms in their biblical senses. Think of how many churches don't teach the Word of God. But the pastor teaches himself. You guys are blessed. Because you come to a church that not only teaches the word of God, but warns you about false teachers and false prophets. Having discernment as a child of God. When you look at the epistles, Paul the apostle warns also about false teachers. Paul says in Acts 20, 29, 30, that describes these as savage wolves. Savage wolves. Acts 20, 29, 30 says, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you." Not outside, they're going to come in from the outside into the church. "Not sparing the flock, also from among you men will rise up, perverse things, to draw away disciples after themselves." They want to have their own little cult. You need to be aware of, you need to be careful. Secondly, Paul describes these false apostles in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 through 15. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." Warning after warning after warning. Paul describes them as philosophers in Colossians 2:8. "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Let no one deceive, let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility, worship of angels, introducing into those things which he has not seen, verified, nor vanity, and puffed up by the fleshly mind." Think of all the warnings Paul is bringing about in the educational centers and just in the church. Wherever you go, there is deception. That's why God gave us the Holy Spirit to do what? To have discernment. But you cannot have discernment if you're walking in the flesh. You have to walk by the Holy Spirit. Do we need discernment today? You bet. I want discernment in my life. And when I teach people, I always tell them, what I say to you, I want you to go home and check it out. Is it biblical or is it not biblical? Because I can deceive just like anybody else can deceive. Paul also says this concerning these apostates. In 1 Timothy 4:1, he says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the last days, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." Doctrines of devils. Man, there are so many churches that are turning in that way. To get popularity, to get people into their churches. And they look at the money that people will bring into the church. And yet, when you have a true pastor, a real shepherd, he's not going to be concerned about himself. He's going to be concerned with his people that he loves. A true shepherd, like Jesus. But these false teachers, these false prophets, all they care is about themselves. Living in a nice mansion, driving a nice car, having a nice savings, nice bank account, and taking the opportunity to fleece the flock of God instead of feeding the flock of God. We need to be careful. Paul also describes them as evil men. In 2 Timothy 3:13, he says, "But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Is it going to get better? Nope. It's going to get worse. Peter also describes these false teachers in 2 Peter 2:1-3. He says, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you." He said, among you. "Who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction has not slumbered. You know, you turn on the television, and they're crying on the radio, and they're begging for money, as if God was poor. God's not poor. I learned from my pastor that where God leads, he provides. And I think that's something that we keep not only an eye, but we keep an ear close to that. Because our children and our grandchildren are living in a world, a different world than when I grew up. And probably is going to change and change more and more. If the Lord tarries, we're going to see different days. It could be very possible the church could go back, like the early church, to persecution. To persecution, believe me. Very important. So we need to be in that place that our faith is in Christ and not on men. Our president or our government. I don't trust our government. They have people ask, are you a Republican, Democrat? No, I'm a Christian. I don't believe that. Christian. And then think of what, you know, what the words, you know, concerning the word deception. The word comes, the seed means the act of practice or practice of deceiving someone. The word deceitful means given to deceiving or misleading. The word deceive also means to mislead a person by a false appearance or statement. A false appearance or statement. So when we look at the word deceive, we need to be careful not only to learn it and to memorize it, but to be careful that we don't get deceived by these people that are trying to deceive people within the church. How about secondly, characteristics of a false believer or a false deceiver? First of all, they prophesy false peace. False peace. Jeremiah 23:17 says, they continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. No evil shall come upon you. Isn't that what a lot of people in the churches today, in the pulpits of America are saying? Don't speak about sin, but speak about what's good and what's right, and nothing will ever happen to you because you have to confess it. They don't believe in persecution. They don't believe in the holiness of God. We need to be careful concerning false prophets that prophesy peace when there is no peace, saith the Lord to the wicked. Secondly, they teach lies. Jeremiah 28:15. He says, the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah, the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but you make this people trust in a lie. The Lord never sent you. You're trying to deceive my people. We need to pray for John. We need to pray for all the pastors, men, that are teaching the Word of God. That they will continue to teach God's truth, to feed the flock of God, because we love the flock of God. We're not looking for popularity. We're not looking to become great. As a matter of fact, God says if you want to be great, then you have to be what? The servant of all. The servant of all. We need always to look to the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross of Jesus Christ. The instrument that is there for us to die to ourselves. Jesus in Matthew 16, remember what he said in verse 24? If any man wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The cross is the instrument of death. Death. That's one thing in society today, people don't want to die to themselves. They don't want to die to themselves. And unless we don't die to ourselves, then we can never experience true life. True humility, true eternal life, the peace of God that passes all understanding. And then how about they pretend to be true? Remember Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount? In chapter 7, as he's concluding the Sermon on the Mount, man, he brings in a heavy message. In chapter 7, verse 22 and 23, he says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, the gift of prophecy? Cast out demons in your name, exorcisms. Done many wonders in your name. And then I, Jesus, will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you servant who practice lawlessness. Lawlessness. I never knew you. And yet you said you knew it, but I never knew you. They're teachers also of corruption. 2 Peter 2:12 through 19, he says, but these, like natural brute beasts, they make to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things they do not even understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness, as those who counted pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they're feasting with you. Notice he keeps talking about you in the church, feasting with you. And that really caught my eye. He says also, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, they have a heart trained to covetous practices and accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, to whom is reserved the blackness and darkness forever. Wow. Think about pastors that deceive the people. How can I say this? Well, I'll say it anyways. You know, it's just important that we understand that a lot of pastors, if they're really pastors and they really love the congregation, they have to be honest with themselves and they have to be honest with the congregation. Otherwise, you're deceiving people. I think of how many pastors have been deceived by women. By women. Billy Graham said, you know, you need to be careful with women, with money, because those are the things that not only would take away, and thirdly, he says, don't take the glory from God. How many of these teacher pastors, whatever they are, they like to take the glory, they believe their own lie. They get up on Sunday mornings and they teach the Word of God. And while they're teaching the Word of God, you know, just lady in the back, you know, wherever they're at, they've been having sex with a woman before they come out to the pulpit. And I'm not exaggerating. Drinking. Not being filled with the Holy Spirit. Stealing money from the congregation. These are things that is grieving the Holy Spirit within the church. What's the difference between a pastor doing that and a person that is a deceiver? I think we need to pray for the church. Because Satan is in the church, and Satan also wants to divide the body of Christ. You know, when people are charismatic, when you start lifting up the pastor, the evangelist, or whoever it is, and you're looking to him, guess what's going to happen? He's going to fail you, I'm going to fail you, and you're going to fail me. That's why I keep my eyes on Jesus, or else I wouldn't be in the ministry today. Seriously. When I first got saved, I got real bitter. I went to Chuck. I said, Chuck, I have this bitterness. Bitterness because you have these people. They take the credit for themselves and they think that they're little gods, you know. And I said, I've become angry against these people. And Chuck told me this. He says, if you continue to have this hate for them, he says, how is God going to use your life? He says, you can leave this room today forgiving and keeping your eyes on Jesus, he says, because people are going to disappoint you. And from that point on, I kept my eyes on the Lord. We're human beings, you guys. We're human. And one of the things that happens is like when people fall, people look at this person and some of the church is offended by it. Some people have their eyes on that person and then they leave the church and they become bitter. And then as they get bitter, they forget who God is. And then these false deceptors come in and they drag these people to themselves and deceive them. They love division. Remember Paul said in Romans 16, 17, 18, He says, now I urge you, brethren, know those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words, flattering speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple. Deceive the hearts of the simple. So sad that they don't love the sheep. But they love themselves more than they love the sheep. Thirdly, the final end of these deceivers. Number one, they're going to be rejected by God. Hebrews 12:17 says, for you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Esau sought with tears repentance, and God said, no. How about secondly, he dies before his time. He can die before his time. Proverbs 10:27 says, the fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. And then thirdly, compared to chaff, Matthew 3:12, he says, the wooing fan in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out the threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barns, but he will burn up the chaff with an unquenchable fire. You know, they take the basket, they throw it up into the air, the true wheat falls out, but the chaff blows away. Fourthly, they will receive the wrath of God. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Now you got to read to the last verse 32. Because he says, you know, you're watching a movie, you're watching whatever it is that is not right, you're a Christian, and there's a nudity, or they're having a sex scene, whatever it is, and you sit through it, you watch it, you don't get up and leave. Paul says that you're just as guilty as the actor committing the act. Read the book of Romans 18 to 32. Listen, if we're going to be Christians, we got to be holy people. We cannot compromise. We cannot compromise. I'm telling you right now, we cannot. Especially in the days we're living in. If we compromise, we're going to bring leaven into the church. And Jesus said, a little leaven leavens a whole lump. And maybe some of you are here tonight that are being deceived by Satan. And you have all these things in your home where there's oppression in your home. Because you're not keeping an eye on your kids. They're bringing all these things into their home, into their rooms or into their homes. And it's affecting your life. It's affecting your husband, your wife's life. And maybe they're coming in and maybe through drugs, you know, demons. Like my son Ryan when he was, for what, 19 years on drugs. And one day in the hotel room he saw this demon jumping back and forth all over the wall. And the next morning, his friend, that's now a pastor with us too, told Ryan, hey, last night I saw this little thing jumping all around my room. He said, I saw the same thing. And they recognized that it was Satan. The Bible says we need to live in the light. So many times people say, well, how can I get rid of the darkness? Well, if you're in a dark room and it's dark, you got to look for the switch light. You know, you have to just turn it on and the darkness will be gone. And that's what Christ does in our lives. But the problem with the church today, we have one foot on the world, one foot in Christ, and that's a split decision. You're going to get hurt. Either you're for me or you're against me. Because there is a heaven, there is a hell. And here the false teachers, as false prophets, one day they're going to end up in hell. It says in Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell in all nations that forget God. So think our own personal, not to condemn anybody, not to convict anybody, not to talk against anybody. When you came here tonight, have you checked your heart? Are you walking by faith? Are you truly worshiping God in truth? Do you really know him in spirit, in truth? Are you being obedient to the truth? And I'm going to ask you something tonight, very important in my life. That if you're here tonight, somebody brought you because they love you. They love you. And maybe you came on your own, and maybe you attend John's church here, you know, you go to the church, whatever. And you come to church, you hear the message, but there's no change in your life. It should always be that as we come into the house of the Lord and we sit down when the word of God is given, after the word is given, that we should be leaving the church in a different place, in a different part of our life. We should be different. Not just that day, but for the rest of the week and every day. I understand we trip and we fall, every one of us. But there's also transgression, a willful doing what's right and doing it wrong. God give us a conscience. And before you ever sin, the Holy Spirit tells you, hey, this is wrong. He gives you the opportunity to say no to sin. And if you want to disobey God, then you go ahead and disobey God. But there are consequences you're going to pay. Consequences of sin. And let me tell you something. When I came to Christ, I paid heavily the consequences of sin. Heavily. But I made a promise. Not a promise, but I made a deal with God. I said, God, I don't ever want to go back to my stupid old life. I don't want to go back, and any one of us here. And it just really, it bothers me to see people that God uses. It bothers me that once you've tasted of the goodness and the love of God, how can you go back into the world? What did the world offer you? Like the children of Israel, man, we wish back in Egypt. We had all these things in it. Did you really? We were prisoners of darkness. And Jesus Christ came to set us free. To set us free. And I'm praying tonight that throughout this whole week, that every one of us, including myself when I leave here tonight, that God will set me free. That God will continue to speak to my heart. That God will continue to humble us in his presence, because he loves us. I love John with all my heart. He's been a tremendous friend of mine. And it's been so neat to see his godly life, his family, a true shepherd. And I ask you to pray for shepherds, because we don't want to be deceived by a false prophet or a false teacher. And maybe tonight you came here and God has been speaking to your heart. And unless you humble yourself before God, unless you admit that you have sinned against God, maybe you're going out on your wife or your husband, and maybe your children are watching your life, and think about this, divorce is so rampant in the church today. When somebody marries somebody and they divorce, you take the same problems into your second or third or fourth, fifth marriage. But today we do not honor marriage. 70% of the church is in divorce today, just like the world. Maybe that's why the churches are not only growing spiritually, because the leaven not only is in the church, but think of this, the church has to preach, they have to practice what they preach. People have to see that we love our wives, wives love their husbands. Because your children are in the home, they live with you. And I've been on my Calvary, on my office, I can see the parking lot. And I've seen people get our families out of the car, and I see them arguing and fighting. And then I watch him come through the doors. Totally hypocritical, you know? Listen, if I'm mad at my wife, I'm mad at my wife. And I tell you, I don't want to talk to you right now, I'll talk to you later. But I think it's something that tonight we need to do. You know, if the Holy Spirit really spoke to you, you can leave the same way you came here, or you can leave differently. Father, I pray in your precious, holy name, Jesus. Lord, that you brought us here tonight, Jesus, to know you, Lord, to worship you. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit right now, Father, you would speak to people just very quickly. You want Jesus? Get up right now and come up into the front. I'm going to stand right here. You get up and you come here. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. And you guys pray for these people that are here tonight. And God will speak to them. And that they'll get up and follow Jesus Christ to pick up their cross. And to follow Him, it takes denial of self. We're going to worship. And as we worship, check your heart. And if you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you get up and you come.